Last week we started a series or series of two lessons of talking about Josiah and his humble heart. We noted from the scriptures that the thing that most notable about Josiah was the fact that he wanted to do what God desired. That he had a humble heart, he had a tender heart. And we talked about some of the characteristics of that, that in fact it is a heart that listens, is a heart that is humble, and we talked about that as well. And tonight we're going to talk about the fact that a tender heart is one that weeps. A tender heart weeps for the sins that are committed against God. When we see Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22, when he finds out that he and the people have not been keeping God's law, it says in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 19, it says, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly heard you. It sorrowed Josiah. He cried out before God. Tender hearts mourn over their sins and, of course, turn from them. They see and feel the ugliness of sin. And they feel the burden of guilt of sin that will grieve their souls. Take a look at what Joel said in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and in verse 12 says, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting from evil. What God wants is people to change. Now, back in those days, it was a sign of mourning to rip your clothes. But God's saying, I'd rather see your heart ripped. You don't need to rip your clothes. You need a change. And that starts with being sorry for what you have done. Over in James in the New Testament, James chapter 4, James also charged the people with sins. And in verse 8, he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. This is the proper response to knowing that we sinned. Not joy, but sorrow. Because we know that sin damages both us and those around us. And it's not just weeping over our own sins. We need tender-hearted people who feel and share the tears of those around them. For instance, take a look at what Jeremiah dealt with. Jeremiah had the misery, I guess the way to put it, of having to tell Israel that they were going to be destroyed because of their sins. And it's not that Jeremiah's gloating over it. In Jeremiah 9 and verse 1, he says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep night, day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. It grieved Jeremiah deeply. He had more to cry about than he had tears. And we even see it with our own Lord in John chapter 11. When they cried about the fact that Lazarus had died, it says in John 11 verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And so the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. Jesus had sympathy for the griefs of others. And of course, Lazarus' death reminds him of his own approaching death. But he had a tender heart. He was compassionate with those around. Our heart should be touched by the troubles of others. Take a look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There was a contest once to find the most caring child. The winner was a 4-year-old child whose next-door neighbor had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the old man's yard, climbed into his lap, and just sat there. When his mother asked him what he had said to the neighbor, the little boy said, nothing. I just helped him cry. And oftentimes that's what somebody needs. Just somebody to listen, somebody to care. Somebody is not going to be uncomfortable with the fact that I or you or somebody else needs to cry. A tender heart also is one that helps. Hard-hearted people withhold help from those who need it. In fact, take a look what God said about them in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy 15, and in verse 7, if there is a poor man with you, one of your brothers, in any of your towns and in your lands which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother. We have to understand when somebody needs help, they need help. God wants more than just compassion toward other people. He wants action that goes with the compassionate heart for those who are less fortunate. And so we need to replace the selfish, hard heart with a tender, helping heart. Take a look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's more than just what we say. It needs to be shown by what we do. In Oceanside, California, Mr. Alter's fifth grade class made headlines when the boys in the class decided by themselves to shave their heads. They did so without embarrassment because one of their own, Ian O'Gorman, developed cancer and was undergoing chemotherapy. His hair began to fall out. So to make their friend feel at home and one of the crowd, all his classmates agreed to shave their heads with their parents' permission so that upon his return, Ian would not stand out in the class. This is more than just words. This is action to show sympathy with somebody who's having a hard time. When we talk about a tender heart, we also have to understand that it has to be a heart that forgives. And in order to forgive as we ought, we have to have a tender heart. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And also take a look at Colossians chapter 3, which is similar. Colossians 3, and look at verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Now, I don't know anyone here, myself included, that hasn't made mistakes. I know I've made quite a few. But what helps is to have people who are tenderhearted, willing to forgive, helping us grow. Our tender hearts are to extend even to our enemies. Take a look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and in verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. God is willing to overlook our sins, even grave sins. He overlooked Paul's sins of persecuting a church, murdering Christians. He can overlook my sins and your sins. And we have to be willing to do that. Listen to this letter that was found in the clothing of a dead child in Ravensbrück's concentration camp in Germany. O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also of those of ill will. Do not remember all the suffering that they have inflicted upon us. Instead, remember the fruits that we have borne because of this suffering. Our fellowship, our loyalty to one another, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart that has been grown from this trouble. When our persecutors come to be judged by you, let all these fruits that we have borne be their forgiveness. Imagine that. In a concentration camp, praying that those who are basically murdering those that are there, they actually say, look at what we have become, how we have grown, despite what they've done to us, and forgive them. A tender heart is also one that repents. See, a hard-hearted person refuses to change. Take a look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and in verse 3. Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 3. Do you suppose this, O man, that when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you lightly think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. Hard-hearted peoples mock and despise God's wisdom. They won't repent. They won't turn away from sin. They won't turn back to God. It has to be their way. And yet, Paul says that the tenderhearted need to repent. And they will repent. As we mentioned, they weep. But go back to Joel again. Go back to Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Joel 2, verse 12, it says, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. They wept, but He says, turn, change, put that sorrow to use. That's a lesson that Simon learned in Acts chapter 8. Simon was eager to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, be able to give the gifts to other people. And he very early on made a mistake. And Peter took him to task and said in verse 22, "Now repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." But Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you said may come upon me." He did change. He realized that what he had asked for was wrong. That's something that we need as having tender hearts. Not so stubborn that we can't change, but willing to change if that's going to make us better. A tender heart also obeys. See, God wants his people to follow him, because what he asked of us is good for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy 30 and in verse 2, "And you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons." That's what God wants, our everything. Our obedience, not just outwardly, but from the heart. And when David prayed for his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles 29, and in verse 19, "And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them with all, and to build the temple for which I have made provisions." Give him a heart to obey, a willingness to submit to God. There's also a request to follow that David wrote in Psalms 119. In Psalms 119 and in verse 34, Psalms 119 and in verse 34, "Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it within all my heart." No, we cannot be saved without a tender heart, because belief comes from the heart. Take a look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 9. "And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." But it's not just belief, but it's obedience we mentioned. And that too comes from the heart. Take a look at Luke chapter 8 and in verse 15. "But the seed on the good soil are those ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Also in Romans chapter 6, take a look at verse 17. Romans 6 verse 17, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." And finally, take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of your heart, as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men. Now, imagine you were working for a company whose president found it necessary to travel out of country and spend an extended period of time abroad. And so he says to you and other trusted employees, look, I'm going to leave, and while I'm gone, I want you to pay close attention to the business. Manage things while I'm away, and I'll write to you regularly. And when I do, I will instruct you with what you should do from now until I return from this trip. And everyone agrees. He leaves and he stays gone for a few years. During the time, he writes often, communicating his desires and concerns, and finally he returns. He walks up to the front door of the company and immediately discovers everything is in a mess. Weeds flourishing in the flower beds, windows broken across the front of the building, the gal at the front desk dozing, loud music roaring from several offices. Instead of making a profit, the business suffered a great loss. Without hesitation, he calls everyone together and with a frown asks, what happened? Didn't you get my letters? And you say, oh, sure. We got all your letters. We bound them in a book, and some of us have memorized them. In fact, we had a letter study every week. And you know, those are really great letters. You know, I think the president would then say, but why didn't you do what I told you to do? And no doubt the employees would respond, do? Well, nothing. But we read every one. It's a bit silly. But it makes a point. I didn't come up with that story, by the way. That was Charles Swindoll. But it makes a good point. The Bible is more than just a nice book to read. It is instruction for what we live by. And those who obey the gospel must have tender hearts. Take a look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 37. Now then, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So consider this evening, do you have a tender heart? See, the proof is in your response to what God said in his word. Will you learn of your sins and weep over your mistakes? Repent of your ways and obey the Lord in all that he commands, including in baptism? Or if you're as a child of God, cultivate that seed that was planted in you. Be kind-hearted, pleasing God and winning souls to his service. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here tonight who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.